the city, with lightning-quick costume changes, whimsical allusions to Egyptology, and mummies, werewolves, and ex-wives. The Casey Repertory Theater's production of The Mystery of Irma Vep, A Penny Dreadful, is eerily comical. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. And joining us now are the two principal actors in that production, Ron McGee and Mark Robbins. The two actors together play no less than 8 characters in 2 hours in The Mystery of Irma Vep, A Penny Dreadful, now playing at the Copacan Stage downtown until November 18th. Ron, Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, how would you describe Irma Vep, The Mystery of Irma Vep?
That's a very good question. it is a wild farce, holding mirror up to 1940s, 50s horror films, classic Alfred Hitchcock movie, Shakespeare. I mean, it's a very interesting look into parody and camp.
It covers a lot of ground because it's also framed as this kind of Victorian melodrama. It's got a number of different influences happening all at the same time.
No genre is left off the hook.
Absolutely. Right. Kitchen sink theater.
Why do you think the KC Rep decided to stage this production? Tell us a little bit about the background, the backstory behind how this production came together.
Well, they were considering it because it seemed like a fun thing to do. This play's been around a long time, and it's been done in hundreds of venues across the country. And it just seemed like a lark. It seemed like something good for the Rep to do, a little bit out of their general wheelhouse. And they enlisted the aid of Tom Olino, who ended up directing the show. And they contacted Ron and I about putting together a short workshop of the play just to present it to the senior staff of Rep and see if they thought it would fly. And so we got together for about a week and put together this little presentation, little workshop, and they decided to go for it. They greenlit it and signed us on, and we were off.
What drew you both to the production?
Besides the director and wanting to work at the Rep, because it's my first time working on stage at the Rep, was Mark. I've always wanted to. I've been in one other show with him, but we had one or two little baby scenes together, and I wanted to work with him. I mean, he's truly Kansas City theater right there. So it was. I wanted to learn.
Well, me too. I mean, you're right back at him. You know, Ron's been around a long time, and he's kind of an icon of sort in the live theater world in Kansas City. But our two universes rarely seem to overlap.
Well, and they're overlapping big time.
Oh, yes.
Did you do extensive research in preparation for this, or was it just looking at the material and saying, yeah?
No, me personally, no. I know that the director did quite a bit of research into it, but as far as the cross dressing aspect of the play goes, I would just watch Ron
And that brings us to an interesting question, Ron. You've played Cher and lots of other female icons, and fabulously so, we might add.
Well,
but
thank you.
For you, Mark, this was the first time you'd ever cross-dressed on stage.
Yeah, I'm a long way from fabulous, and probably the ugliest woman you will ever see. But you know, that's I learned a lot of stuff during the course of this rehearsal and performance, and you just go with it.
I've got to say though, Mark, there's a point where you're glowing from a little bit of sweat in your Lady Enid outfit and across the stage, and it's just ethereal. It's just beautiful. I can see why Lord Edgar fell for you.
Excellent.
And you're Lord Edgar.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though, and to inform our audience, you do pull it off.
Okay.
You do pull it
off.
I'm glad to hear that. So, had you played a mystical creature before?
No, I have not. I love playing a mystical creature. That's what the intruder scene is one of my favorite scenes. Just because it's so heightened and it's on the verge of silent movie pieces, it's really one of my favorites. And I love attacking you in that scene.
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah, me too.
And now I make little sound effects just for you.
No, because nobody else can hear them.
Yes.
Wow. How do you get ready for individual performances? Any rituals, any pregame rituals that you go through?
Yeah. Yeah, mostly they involve ingesting various sorts of fortifications, B complex, C. Sometimes I take some guaifenesin and some decongestant. You know, there's this array of pharmaceutical stuff that I have to get down just to kind of get through it.
No J.D. Black?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just making sure. And what are your pregame rituals there, Ron?
I've lost so much weight in this show just from running and sweating.
It's to eat.
And I'm now, before a show, I try to have a huge, bad dinner that involves sometimes burgers, or the other day it was a chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes. I have to eat as much as possible.
Now, is that good for running on and off stage? Eating bad food before you go on?
Well, sometimes it gets a little shaky.
You need to be carbo-loading, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just try to get as much in me as possible.
Gabby and Casey writes in to say, to remind us of Ron McGee's birthday.
That's correct.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Scorpio.
Well, thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I turned 45 today, which is wild that I've made it this far.
Yours is the day after mine. I turned infinity, so...
You really?
Yeah, I did.
So you're a Scorpio too?
I am.
Oh, we're an interesting breed, aren't we?
I think so.
Yes.
I think so. What are you doing to celebrate your birthday?
I'm glad you asked. I'm going down to the Alamo Draft House at 4:30 today to watch Jurassic Park on the big screen.
That's reopening up today.
Yes. Very excited.
Is the cast of the show doing anything for you?
well, luckily, we're off tonight. And so.
So no. Yeah. No, the cast will be sitting in front of the TV.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted for my birthday for the rest of the cast, is just to rest and kind of relax.
You're a prince. You're a prince, Ron.
You're giving me my birthday wish.
Absolutely.
So because this is a satirical set piece, is there a preparation where you have to go deep into who Lord Edgar is or anything at all, or who Eden is? Or are they really just kind of caricatures to move the plot along?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say that there's a lot of depth.
Yes.
In Irmafet. There's some. And it comes in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. And actually, to give him credit, Tom Aulino, who directed it, wanted to keep us from going full-on Carol Burnett with this thing and really campy and winking at the audience. There is, I'm not saying that there isn't a certain amount of winking at the audience, but it's really rather well written, and some of the scenes are touching and human, and he wanted to keep the needle in the middle, you know, from going all the way over into melodrama or going the opposite way into camp.
I suppose the danger with something like this is either it could be too campy, or you could take it way too seriously.
Right, yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. And he wanted to keep it in the middle as much as possible.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. We have in-studio actors Ron McGee and Mark Robbins, the two actors who together played no less than 8 characters in The Mystery of Irma Vep, A Penny Dreadful, now playing at the Copagan Stage in downtown Kansas City until November 18th. Perhaps the most intriguing part of the show is all of the quick costume changes, some 35 in 2 hours.
But who's counting?
Breakneck speed. Tell us about that process.
It's incredible. It's very effective, first of all. It spins audience members' heads around sometimes, which is very gratifying.
Yes, it is.
But it's mostly, I mean, the mechanics of it, I think it would be fascinating to have a camera. Video camera backstage and do a little mini doc of just the costume changes, because they are, I'll bet to see them would be like dynamic works of physical, you know, like interpretive dance, like works of art.
Right. They're very quick. And we should add, there's even one scene where your character Nicodemus and Lady Eden are changing almost instantaneously.
Right. That's kind of build up to that. That's kind of the pinnacle of the costume change.
So you have costume staff backstage.
Yes. We have three incredible, besides a giant tech staff that's backstage, we have these three incredible dressers, Kyle Mowry, Marianne Rouse, and Kimberly Queen, that are choreographed to an inch of their lives. In fact, sometimes they're stacked on top of each other, literally. on stools so that they can change us in an instant. I have that one change is 1.5 seconds is what it's been timed at.
Yes, yes. Those changes are instantaneous. I should add that they're within scenes sometimes.
Right.
Yes.
And instantaneous, literally, where you're going out the door and coming back through the door. And that's a comedic element of the show itself.
Yeah, and you know, there's some sleight of hand at work there, too. You know, sometimes you think that the person is on one side of the stage, and then he shows up from the other side as a different character. But, yeah, those guys are really the third, fourth, and fifth cast members.
I agree.
Yeah, because they're incredible.
You also have to stand at a certain angle at some point because costumes are one-sided. Some of the costumes are one-sided. Tell us about the sort of stage direction and how that plays out.
Okay, it comes down to a basic formula. You run off stage with your arms straight out in front of you because the person is standing there with your next costume held up and ready. And one person, as you come off stage, grabs whatever you're wearing for the most part and rips it off of your body. And sometimes it makes you spin around because of just the centrifugal force. But then you throw your arms forward and run into your next costume, turn to the left, 180 degrees to the left, and they do you up, and then they shove you back out on stage.
And put a wig on your head.
Yeah.
That's
Mark Robbins, I want to thank you for using the word centrifugal force.
That's my pleasure.
On radio. I've been hearing that all my life in, like, cartoons and action stuff, and, you know, I never thought it would apply, but it did.
I like to bring little polysyllabic words and little science to
polysyllabism is what we're all about.
Absolutely.
Bessons is an email saying it was nothing short of astounding how the actors got from one side of the set to another, let alone in different makeup. And I must say it was almost as entertaining to see Ron as the quote-unquote Lord as it was to see Mark as Lady Enid. It's like the dulcimer playing a scene written in the play, or was that just an add-in, the dulcimer.
The dulcimer is written in the play.
It's written in the play. It's, it's an instrument, to explain to our audience. It's an instrument. It's like a lute meets a sitar, sort of.
Oh,
if they had like a lute and a sitar,
It's got it's sitar-like in that there are four strings on it, and three of them are kind of just drones, or actually two of them are just drones. You know, you never change the tuning on them, or you don't play a melody on those. They just drone, and you just play the melody on the closest two strings. Anyway, yeah, he wrote this a little dulcimer interlude.
Why? You know?
Because I think
it's delightful.
It's delightful and hysterical. There's just something, and also it's an interesting breathing moment in the show. I'm so happy to get to that moment and just sit with Mark and play a dulcimer for 2-3 minutes. Just, it's really nice.
The Last Rose of Summer.
The Last Rose.
Yeah, the audience goes out humming it.
They do.
They do?
No.
No.
Yeah, right.
They might.
Right.
I know I do. But
how does this inform your process as an actor? How does this stretch your chops as an actor?
Oh, well, it's unavoidable, really. It's a different kind comedic. I mean, yeah, it's not that I've never done comedic or farcical roles before, but it's, just in terms of stamina and physical stamina and emotion and focus, it's like nothing I've ever done before. And also just playing female characters is just something I've never really done before. And it's liberating in a way and challenging in other ways. It's great fun.
Ron, this seems like a day at the office for you. You seem to navigate both characters so effortlessly.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
There's a sort of genteel sensibility with the Lord as the same as it with a maiden. You sort of traverse that pretty seamlessly.
Thank you. The Lord is very hard for me to play. I don't know why I find it easier to play women or what. Because the mask, it's easier to have the mask on as an actor. The Lord is a little bit closer to home for me. And also the language of the show at times, from Shakespeare to beautiful movie quotes to Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, there's so much in there. And just grasping that language. That's what Mark taught me on this is how to embrace this language and have it come off your tongue where it looks effortless. He's a genius on it.
I'm going to thank the Lord that he's standing next to me.
You thank the Lord and you play
yes.
a Lord.
So yes, I play a Lord.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the whole play is written with a kind of a Victorian era syntax, and it's really, really well done. It's beautifully structured.
And as Kansas City natives, where do you get or practice your British accent? Do you work with dialogue coaches? Do you just watch Downton Abbey?
What? Downton Abbey, that's me.
where do you get your dialogue?
Well, I'm not a native. I went to school. I went to theater college. I went to
theater
college. To the College of the Theater. Yes, I went to Webster College back then in St. Louis, and then I went to did grad school work in the theater in Detroit. And so by the time I got here, you know, I kind of learned all that stuff.
So between Detroit and St. Louis, you were totally cool with the Londoner dialect.
Absolutely.
How about you? Where did you get your British accent?
I, this whole summer, worked for a manor house in England.
Really?
Where I had to be a...
Were you upstairs or downstairs?
I was downstairs, and I was a chambermaid, and no, I really didn't. I watch movies, and I just copy... I'm just a copier.
But Ron was born in a London Doss house.
I
don't know if anybody knew
yes,
that.
I was an really? Orphan baby. I was abandoned, just abandoned. It was interesting. 3 years I sold apples on the streets. No, I'm joking. That didn't have anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, was your name Oliver and was your last name Twist?
It was Olivia.
Now, both of you are Kansas Cityans. How does it feel to be working in a local production in Kansas City? And headlining it
would rather be doing this than anything else I can possibly imagine.
It's this, you know, it's beautiful that our city does this.
Yeah.
That we have a town where we're still all working and entertaining Kansas Cityans, because I love this city. I mean, it's my favorite city in the world. It really is. It's a creative world, and it's great to be in such a creative show with all these people. And. And you watch the designers and local, I don't know, it's, we have a gym in this town, and we're very lucky.
You have a gym? Does it have elliptical?
Yes, it
gym.
Does.
Gym.
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 G, as in gym theater, G-E-M.
Right, yeah, right. Well, just, you know.
I thought you were talking about treadmills or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, and also a gym that we all work out at.
It's a gem of a gym. It really is.
All 9 actors in town work out at the same place.
Yeah, we work out every night at the Copacan Theater.
Yes, we do.
I mean, that's quite a workout.
So would you say Kansas City is a good city or town for stage actors?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. I've been here basically since 1980. I mean, I spent about 5 years working as an actor in Chicago, but the rest of the time, since about 1980, I've been here. And I've been plying my trade as a professional actor here in Kansas City. And why would I want to go anywhere else? Because over the last 20, 30 years, the number of theaters, the quality of theater, the talent pool has been growing and growing and growing, getting more rich, more deep. I think this is an incredible theater town.
If either of you had your ultimate druthers, would both of you rather do live stage performances or silver screen or small screen, TV or film? If you had your druthers.
I would have to say live. There's that moment where you and the audience and the other actors on stage, we have several of these moments in the show where we're all one. They're with you. They're laughing. They're feeling your movement. You're changing things on stage just to let it breathe. And there's something magical about it. I love live theater, I would have to say.
Yeah.
How about
you? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a ritualistic, it's like church. It really is. I think it's a communal exploration of what it is to be human, and it happens every night.
Also, sort of a call and response nature.
Yeah.
To the performance.
Yeah. Especially this show.
Oh, definitely. Especially this show.
Yeah.
What's next for both of you, performance wise? Let's go with Ron McGee first, because he's got a doozy.
I'm writing right now a script and going to direct it and put it together for the Coterie at Night. It's called Slash Dance. It's Flash Dance mixed with flesh-eating cannibals.
Human flesh-eating cannibals.
Human flesh-eating cannibals.
Repeat the title. of that?
Flashdance.
Okay.
So it's Flashdance mixed with this. And
what a feeling.
What a feeling. Mm. I know. Can you Maniac? I mean, it's got great music in it. And then you're killing human flesh-eating cannibals while you're singing these or performing them, dancing. And wait, do you see the scene where they pull the bucket of water down? Oh, God. It's
like the Dancing Dead.
It is. It's going to – and it's interesting because Coterie at Night does a – it's a class for young teens, and there's 45 of them in it. And they go through a zombie-slash-cannibal class to learn. They do makeup, and then they're in the show. So
– where did you come up with that idea?
Flashdance. Flashdance is one of my favorite movies, which I usually don't tell people that one. And then second of all, I'm obsessed with The Walking Dead.
Well, there you go. What's next for you, Mark?
Well, as soon as Irma Vip closes, I got a day off, and then I jump into a student matinee of The Christmas Carol at the Rep and playing the ghost of Jacob Marley.
And then after that?
Then after that, also at the Rep, I'm going to be in Death of a Salesman.
So you have a pretty extensive relationship with the Rep.
Boy, this year.
This year at least.
This year, yeah. I got three shows back-to-back there, which is unheard of. It you know, rarely happens. But I'm certainly thankful, and it's three great great projects.
The Green family from Topeka writes in, my 15-year-old son came, and we drove from Topeka to see the show Irma Vep we're talking about. Went to the wrong venue. Went to the actual UMKC theater campus.
Sorry.
Couldn't find a downtown theater, the elevator, or the theater entrance. They arrived late, was seated in the last row of the theater, and moved to our seats after intermission. Even with all the hassles, we thoroughly enjoyed the show. Amazing set, amazing costume changes, a real delight, says the Greens from Topeka.
Wow.
So,
oh, wow.
At least they got their money's worth. Speaking of which, for those who haven't seen this production of The Mystery of Irma Vep of Penny Dreadful, why should they come and check it out?
You will... You might just choke with laughter. I mean, it's very very enjoyable. It's a great afternoon or evening depending on when you come.
It's a great escapism.
Yeah,
I mean, it truly shows theater magic in its simplest form. I mean, costume changes. I mean,
and there's 2 hours of Ron McGee
and 2 hours of Mark Robbins. I was put your name in because she put my name in.
Do you guys make sure to laugh every night? Pretty much.
Yes.
Sometimes on stage, sometimes backstage. Yeah, yeah.
He makes me laugh a lot.
Sometimes on the radio.
Yeah.
Sometimes on the radio.
So you promise they're going to choke with laughter if they come check this out.
They will be beside themselves.
Our guests are Ron McGee and Mark Robbins, the two actors who together played no less than 8 characters in the current production, Mystery of Irma Vep, a Penny Dreadful, now playing at the Copacan stage of the Kansas City Repertory Theater downtown until November 18th. And Ron, as you dance to our theme music, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And Mark, thank you for coming as well.
Thank you.